Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Always locked on Heat. Biscayne, South Beach. Goldberg and Ramil. Talking Heat, body chill. Got the stats and the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the refs now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on Heat. Got it locked on Heat. Always locked on Heat. Keep it locked on Heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your Locked on Heat hopes. West Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil, and we've got another player preview to a day coming up. We're going to talk about Kelly Olynyk and Udonis Haslem, but first, we've got to talk about this new NBA All-Star Game format change. This is wild. It's crazy. It's innovative, I would say, David.
It's certainly a twist. For our listeners that may not have heard about it, basically, the rules haven't changed all that much. Fans, players, and media will still cast votes just like they did last season. And basically, the top 12 vote-getters in each respective conference will still be voted in as all-stars, starters, and reserves. Coaches will then, as they always have, pick two reserves in the Eastern Conference and two reserves in the Western Conference. And then the top vote-getters, this is where the change comes in each respective conference, will then get to pick their team's playground style. Let's say, as the pattern has been over the last couple seasons in the Eastern Conference, LeBron James will be the top vote-getter. In the Western Conference, it'll be presumably Steph Curry. Curry will then make a pick, assuming that he's the top vote-getter. He'll get first pick. Then LeBron will get the second pick. Third pick goes back to Curry. Fourth pick, et cetera, et cetera. So no longer will be an Eastern Conference versus Western Conference format in the All-Star game.
So basically, everybody will be voted in to the All-Star game as usual, but teams will now be selected, like you said, playground style, just pick up. So if Curry and LeBron, like you said, are the two captains, and the captains will still be, there will be one Eastern Conference captain, one Western Conference captain, but from there, they'll just start playing pickup, essentially.
And basically.
So I get it. I understand the idea of trying to jazz up the All-Star game because it's been awful. Like, Steph Curry was laying on the floor last year. I mean, it needs to be better. And I think usually I'm against these weird All-Star change rules. Like, the NBA has a history of experimenting with All-Star weekend things. You remember, like, a couple years ago they had that weird dunk contest? And,
right.
And they'll do it for a year, just experiment with it. And I appreciate it. I like experimenting with something as meaningless as All-Star weekend. If you're going to experiment, that's the time to do it. I think this is a home run. I think this is a home run idea because, first of all, you're getting to the very core of what drives these players, which is their ego. It's not money. It's not championships. It's not rings. It's ego. And if you're LeBron James and you're Steph Curry and you're captains, right? And let's say Curry has the first pick and takes Durant, and LeBron has the second pick and doesn't take, I don't know, Kevin Love or something like that, right?
Yes.
Or takes, like, Kawhi Leonard, and then, you know, maybe Curry doesn't take Draymond Green with his next pick or Klay Thompson with his next pick or something like that. All of a sudden, you start getting these little inter-team dramas. And moreover, if you're not the second or third, if you're not the first pick by one of these captains, you're trying to prove that, hey, you should have picked me first, man. Like, you've got these, like, great just, like, slights to egos and all this just, like, sudden competitiveness that could happen from this. I mean, just the NBA draft is enough of a spectacle. This is amazing. This is literally players picking their teams for a game of pickup. I am so in on this just for the draft process and just for, like, the drama and competitiveness that can happen afterwards. I think it's going to work. I think this is, like, I think it's a home run.
I hate to sound like a crusty old guy waving at clouds or whatever, but at the same time, you know, I just don't know that the game has any kind of, you know, severe or serious stakes to it. And this doesn't change things any. It's still just an exhibition game. Now, there is another twist I should have mentioned. I forgot to bring it up before. Each team will be playing for their own respective charity based out of where the All-Star game is taking place. In this case, next year's All-Star will be in Los Angeles. Two local charities will be vying for whatever winnings, I guess, will be allotted to the winning team or to the losing team. So in that case, it's still a good cause. I think this is something different that hasn't been done in the past. I guess a pool of money is allotted towards winning teams and losing teams. That money will be going toward, you know, again, local charities. So that's a nice twist. Again, there's still no actual stakes there. It's not like it in the All-Star game in baseball that used to decide, I guess, the home plate advantage or home field advantage in the World Series. This doesn't have anything quite so severe. But there is, as you pointed out, quite a bit of drama. I think most of the drama, again, will take place like between teammates. Like, why didn't you choose me? You know,
I want Durant to get MVP. I want Durant to be the leading vote getter in the West so badly, and just yes. not and just not take Westbrook. And if
snub
and,
Westbrook,
and you know
away.
What, LeBron will totally get voted in as the Eastern Conference captain. I don't see how that's going to happen. Right, that's inevitable. But LeBron is like master of the pettiness, right? Like, if Russell Westbrook is king of the pettiness, just in terms of just always on his petty game, did you see that he signed his extension the day on Kevin Durant's birthday?
Am I the only person that thinks that's a coincidence?
Yes. So, he is, but LeBron is just, like, hidden, like, you know, sleight of hand pettiness. If you're LeBron, and you know, and Durant's the other captain, do you just purposely not take Westbrook? Just to see how long Durant can go with not taking Westbrook. This is the kind of stuff that I want to see, right? Because ultimately it doesn't matter if LeBron picks Westbrook, because you're right. The game is still meaningless. So if you're LeBron, just from a sheer entertainment standpoint, you don't pick Westbrook. Durant doesn't take Westbrook. Westbrook ends up the last pick in the draft of this pickup draft, and then just goes nuts during the All-Star game. If that doesn't piss Westbrook off, nothing will. I mean, that obviously would.
Conversely,
I love all of this, and then there's
consider the other aspect. Consider the aspect. What if Kevin Durant uses the first pick in the draft to take Kyrie Irving just to go up against LeBron James in the All-Star game, and LeBron says, "Okay, I'll match your point guard for point guard. Russ, you're on my team."
And so then all Curry's of a sudden, getting passed up. What if Durant took Westbrook with the first pick?
That would blow everybody's mind.
I mean, it would be, and then like Westbrook just said, "Nah, I'm not playing for your team."
I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he's the one player who takes like the All-Star game seriously. Hasn't he won like All-Star game MVP 2 years in a row just because there's no switch to him?
The other wrinkle I like in this, and I don't know how much it's going to matter, but the coaches are still determined in the same way, just the best record,
right,
of each respective conference. And they basically they know who their team's going to be. And I don't know if they do any game plan, but I think they work out their rotations. They try to figure out, okay, at this minute mark, I'll send these guys in at this minute mark. Like, that's probably the amount of game plan that goes into this, so I don't want to overstate it. But it is kind of funny that these coaches get selected by best record, and they have no idea what their team is going to be until the draft, right? Or until the game.
Well, I think the draft takes place, or the selection, whatever you want to call it, takes place. Now, I saw some tweets. I haven't confirmed it. I don't know if this is the case or not. that it might be televised. Like the two captains might be there. Not again, not picking from the players themselves. They're not going to line up the top 14 players in each conference and have them, you know, have one guy be dejected by being the last pick. Can you imagine?
They should do that. No, I completely take back everything I said. You're right. I'm reading this on ESPN's article right now. The timing and details of the All-Star Draft have not yet been determined, but it will be before All-Star Weekend. That's crap. They should do it right there on the court and then tip off.
Can you imagine? NBA, like, these are superstars that have never been picked last in anything.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're going to be picked. It reminds me, I don't know. I know this is one of those asides that I go into every once in a while. Have you ever watched the TV show Freaks and Geeks?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
There was one episode where the nerds, quote-unquote nerds, ruled the PE class, and they got to pick first, and so they each picked each other, like the nerds picked them.
Yep.
The nerds ruled the class for one time. This is like the first time that the superstar athletes might possibly get picked last. And now, we were talking about it before we started recording about how this might impact the Heat.
Right.
My feeling is that if a guy like Goran Dragic somehow gets picked into the All-Star game, I don't think he's very popular amongst those kinds of peers. I could imagine him being the last guy picked in the draft.
I could see that. Or even, any of the Heat's players. I mean, Hassan Whiteside could fall into that because a team might not want...
Durant would take Dion top. I mean, he would use him on a top five pick. Just
you think Dion
boys.
Would? So that was my next. I think Whiteside might fall to the end because the players might not want to play with just a traditional center. But Dion Waiters, I think Dion Waiters is... Durant would take him. I don't think Curry would take him. And LeBron wouldn't take him. LeBron forced him out of Cleveland.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. The Cleveland connection. That'd be like, look, I forced you out of Cleveland. I don't want you on my All-Star team, boy. I can't just imagine. That would be terrible. All that drama playing out. Holy
Waiters
cow.
Waiters being the last pick in the draft would be a home run. That would be amazing. Waiters being the last pick in that draft would be incredible. Because
has anybody ever scored 50 points per game in an All-Star game?
Somebody's had to score 50 points in the game. He'll break the record, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Will Chamberlain style. He'll be holding the little piece of paper with 100 next to it at the end of the game.
All right, should we go into our two-a-days?
Let's do it.
All right.
Drama for one day. Now it's just looking at the key players in the Heat roster, and we move on, as you pointed out, to Kelly Olynyk and Udonis Haslam.
That's right. First, before we do that, quick reminder, make sure you subscribe to David Locke's Locked On NBA podcast for all of your national NBA news. He's got interviews with coaches, scouts, league insiders, and make sure you're also subscribed to the Locked On NBA channel, which is just the channel of all of the Locked On NBA podcasts from all 30 NBA teams. You can get them all right there in one feed. Makes it easy for you. And also, don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Dolphins. Look, I know they're 0-3. They look really bad, but... hey, if there's a fix, Locked On Dolphins will be, they'll figure it out, right? They'll at least give it a shot. So, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So, tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So let's start with Kelly Olynyk, and then we'll do Haslam.
Sorry, just to interject there.
What'd you say?
The Dolphins, they're 1-2.
Oh, that's right. They beat the Chargers. It feels like 0-3. It feels like 0-6. It feels bad. Did you watch the London game?
I did not, no. I know we talked about it before. You had to actually wake up early on the West Coast just to see that butt kicking.
So we're going to talk about... I'm moving on. So we're going to talk about Kelly Olynyk and Haslam. Like we've done with the last ones, we'll do a stat/number. We're going to go with one thing to improve. We'll do a fill-in-the-blank, best case and worst case scenario. We'll compare them to a player in Heat history. We'll try to figure out what we're saying this time next season preview. We'll compare them to a chain restaurant. We'll play FTK, and then we'll predict their stats for the year. So let's start with your stat/number with Kelly Olynyk, David.
Well, the stat that I picked was 15.9, and that's assist percentage, which ranks Olynyk 10th best, technically 11th best, but it was a player who had only played – Jarnell Stokes with the Nuggets, who didn't play very much, so he didn't really count. So 10th best assist percentage in the NBA behind such well-known players as Jokic, Mason Plumlee, Joel Embiid, Boogie Cousins, et cetera. Guys,
Marcus 10th best Salt, among centers?
Yes, 10th best among centers. Sorry if I didn't qualify that. But, you know, it's just you never really consider his name is kind of not necessarily included as far as showing that kind of versatility. We saw some of it in the first preseason game a couple of days ago. If you haven't heard our recap of that, go back and check it out. But he was definitely a slick passer. He had some nice left-handed passes. I think you pointed that out in the podcast. And he just looked really sharp, and I would expect him to continue to build on that. So what was your statistic?
Similar. 3.8 versus 1.5, which is his potential assists per game versus Whiteside's potential assists per game.
Ooh.
It's that's a high number. And he averaged, I think, 2 assists a game last year. Yeah. And but could have had almost double those if just teammates would have converted on their shots. Potential assists, by the way, is like my new favorite stat. I love that stat. I think it's really illustrative. But similar to you, one thing to improve, I've got just getting more consistent on his three-pointers. There were times last year in Boston that he would just go, he would have a Babbitt stat line, right? 0-for-2, 0-for-3 from three-point range. It's like, wait, this guy's supposed to be a great three-point shooter at his position. And then there were times like against the Wizards in the playoffs where he'd just go off and just everything would be sinking. If he can find some more consistency there just to be a consistent threat from three-point range so that we're not having these frustrating games that Celtics fans were accustomed to in his last few seasons, that would be my thing. What about you?
For me, it was 0.7 blocks per game. For a guy his size, I know that he plays closer to the perimeter at times. And defensively, he winds up guarding a lot of fours. Sometimes he switches a lot that way. So his blocks, he's not necessarily your traditional rim protector. But, you know, if we anticipate that the lineup and the rotation will be what we saw in that first preseason game, he's going to be backing up Hassan Whiteside. He's not going to be starting at the four. He's definitely not going to be starting at the five. So he's going to be coming off the bench. We can't have that kind of huge drop-off. Now, other players, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, et cetera, can pick up the slack a little bit as far as overall rim protection. But as a big, it'd be better to see some kind of consistent blocking from him. So I'd like to see that number pick up a little bit beyond just 0.7, at least one block per game.
So I think Josh Richardson will finish this season with more blocks than Kelly Olynyk. Do you agree?
It seems likely. I mean, that strong performance in the first preseason game certainly helps buoy that. I think you're probably right, just because the positions that he'll be guarding, he's got that incredible length, and it gives him a certain advantage, unlike Olynyk. So it's pretty likely that he'll outblock Kelly.
Fill in the blank.
All right.
Kelly Olynyk is blank than Hassan Whiteside.
Ooh. Wow. There's so many different options here. Funnier than Hassan Whiteside.
Funnier?
I think so. I think he's kind of got that sarcastic, under-the-radar type of humor. He may not be as much of a – I don't like using the word clown because of the connotation it conveys. But I think while Whiteside is certainly a lot more flamboyant in his sense of humor, I think Olynyk probably has a more dry sense of humor, one that I probably prefer. So I think I'm going to go with funnier.
Got that British comedy compared to Hassan Whiteside's slapstick Family Guy comedy.
He's Fawlty Towers in comparison to Martin. How about that?
Perfect. Best case, worst case scenario. I've got for his best case, you're going to like this one, for his best case, Jokic Light.
Nice.
Is Jokic your favorite non-Heat player?
No.
No.
No, I don't even know if I like him over. I don't know if I like him more than Plumlee on that same team.
Oh, Plumlee is easily number one, for me at least. Worst case scenario is I have Heat Josh McRoberts. What about you?
Oh, that is pretty bad. God, that takes me a minute there.
Hit some recoil.
Yeah, no, seriously, I'm taken back there. It's a shell shock all over again. The Mavericks are coming into Orlando in a couple nights. McRoberts is on that roster. I kind of want to talk to him, but at the same time, I don't know what to say. It's like not much to build off of after the past 3 years with Miami. But anyway, best case scenario, just that he stays healthy and winds up being the kind of dynamic big that we haven't had in some time, as far as a playmaker is concerned, that he stays healthy and helps lead that second unit. Worst case scenario, that those inconsistencies that he showed in Boston get even worse, that he struggles to adjust and that he winds up getting stuck on the bench because his defense is inconsistent at times and people start to look at him as Josh McRoberts light.
Josh McRoberts light?
Well, maybe not Josh McRoberts light. Let's say Josh McRoberts, period. How about that?
Josh McRoberts, like,
super bad acquisition. Mega. That's overhyped and doesn't fit on the roster.
Compare to a player in Heat history.
This was a good one. I you wanted to do the mashup. I don't know if you still followed that.
No, I completely forgot about it, but I could do it if you go first.
All right. Well, I've got a mashup of one of our faves and a guy who's got a really bad reputation. Justin Hamilton, J-Ham. And Christian Laettner.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
Christian Laettner, a guy who was kind of pigeonholed. You know, a lot of people thought of him as being a thug. They hated his Duke persona and everything else like that. I think, you know, he never quite lived up to the hype that he never chose for himself. He was a high draft pick, never really played up to that draft selection, but wound up having a pretty long career and, you know, showed toughness that a lot of people didn't anticipate. Hamilton, you know, changed his game from an inside type player to a perimeter shooter. You know, he's still collecting a paycheck somewhere. I'm not sure exactly what roster. Is he still on Brooklyn's roster?
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, guys that they can stretch the floor, that have a little bit more versatility than you expect. Yeah, I mean, I think Laettner and Hamilton is a good combo.
All right, so I'm doing this kind of off the fly, but
let's do it.
I'm going to get killed for this. Okay. I got a combination of Chris Bosh and Shane Battier.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right.
I know I have to explain myself.
The Bosh one, I can kind of see. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. He's a much slower,
he's not
less
as good.
Athletic version.
Like, obviously not as good as Chris Bosh. Obviously but not. He does, I think, a lot of similar things where you could put him in that triple threat position on the high elbow, where you could either put the ball on the ground, right? We saw in that first preseason game that he can put the ball on the floor, he could dribble and make some moves, get to the basket. He could shoot from the perimeter, obviously, just like Bosh could. And he's a great passer, just like Bosh was. So from that,
I think he's a better passer than Bosh, to be honest with you.
More natural passer, absolutely.
Yes.
I'd agree with that 100%. So from that triple threat position, that's what he looks like. And even defensively, you know, slimmer, but not as bad as a defender as a lot of people want to give him credit for. So a little bit better than people expect sometimes. There's a lot of the little things that Bosh does, like setting screens, sets really good screens and does those things, and just helps space the floor when he doesn't even have the ball in his hands. And then I went Shane Battier here because I wasn't planning on doing this, but also I think the way Olynyk is going to play this year is he's going to kind of have like those rack up the stats pretty silently, where it's like you kind of look on the box score at the end of the game. It's like, oh, he had 15 points and 5 assists. Where did those come from? That to me was always kind of Shane Battier, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, wait, he had 8 rebounds? I didn't remember him doing anything. And was always just effective, just was the glue guy that filled in the creases where he needed to. Didn't need to start, but didn't. He was always just a good player coming off the bench, starting. Didn't matter where you put him, at what position, was just would find a way to produce in some way or another. That's how I look at Kelly Olynyk, or maybe I hope he plays this season. So that's my Heat history mashup.
It's a tough one.
What are we saying during our 2018 preview?
That he was a perfect fit. I honestly think that people will start to look at him and the perspective on the kind of player he was or the reputation he might have earned or not earned in Boston will kind of be one that will be very much embraced here in South Florida.
I've got, how can the Heat find Kelly Olynyk more minutes? And what do we think about his new haircut?
Oh, ho!
Because the long hair is not going to last. Not in that South Florida humidity. It's not going to last. I love it. but we know that it's not going to last. It never does for any players in Miami. So I think it will get through a season, but I think by next year it'll be gone.
Will he go the McRoberts?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I wanted to be more specific, but I couldn't figure it out. He'll find something. He's hilarious,
As long as there's no video montage of him caressing / embracing the ball the way McRoberts did a couple seasons ago.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that's the lasting image for a lot of Heat fans. The more petty among Heat Twitter, I think, bring up that picture quite frequently.
All right, what chain restaurant is Kelly Olynyk?
This was a lot tougher than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Did you go with the low-hanging fruit? I don't know what you might think the low-hanging fruit is, so I don't know. I went with one that's associated with the Northeast, the area that Olynyk is associated with, and that's Dunkin' Donuts, you know, a place that is locations all over the greater Boston, Massachusetts area, New England area in general, very popular up there, obviously. And to me, the reason why I picked it is because not just the association with Boston like Olynyk, but the fact that you think you go in there for donuts, much like you see Olynyk being tall, white, et cetera, have a reputation.
Yeah.
But it's a much more versatile menu than you might anticipate.
Great
breakfast sandwich. My wife is a huge fan of the hash browns. Mm. They got lunch sandwiches as well. Great coffee, right? To me, their coffee is a million times better than Starbucks. Not that we wouldn't anticipate, you know, we will not reject Starbucks as a sponsor of Lockdown Heat.
Oh, or Starbucks, Starbucks doesn't advertise on anything. Starbucks could get the hell out of here. We'll take Dunkin' Donuts.
Absolutely. I am a proud, happy customer of Dunkin' Donuts, as is Kelly Olynyk.
They make the best iced coffee. Period. End of story. Like, a lot of people screw up an iced coffee. Dunkin' Donuts nails it every time. Their Dunkachinos are awesome. I'm all about this. So what's Kelly Olynyk's munchkin? Like, what is... is that his assist ratio?
I haven't gone that far. Sure, why not?
Okay. So I went similar. By the way, the low-hanging fruit was Hortons.
Oh!
He's Canadian.
Oh.
And it wouldn't have made any sense. That would have been the reasoning.
He's Canadian. But
I almost went Dunkin' Donuts because of the Boston connection. I almost went Wahlburgers because they started in Boston. But they've since expanded down to Florida.
Yep.
But that wasn't good enough. But I went Dairy Queen.
Oh, okay.
It does more than what you expect. Very similar to your Dunkin' Donuts argument. You go in there for ice cream, but wait a minute, they've got cheeseburgers. And I'll get killed for this one too. I'm not doing well on this podcast, David. I know I'm gonna get killed for this. The best onion ring I've ever had in my life.
from
Dairy Queen. I may or may not have been sober. But
I'm gonna go with not at all.
It was the best onion rings I've ever had in my life. They do a lot more than what you expect, and they're kind of dirty. It's always a little dirty when you walk into a Dairy Queen. You're never sure if you really should eat there, but the blizzards are just too good, so you just chance it anyway.
Can I tell you, I've never gone to a Dairy Queen before.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not missing a whole lot. It's okay.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, apparently the damn best onion rings in the whole world.
True. That's true. Second best onion ring I've ever had, actually. An onion ring dethroned the Dairy Queen onion ring this summer.
Oh.
Just some random little burger joint that was like off the side of the freeway. And we stopped because we were hungry. We were coming back from camping. Yes. And it was the best onion ring I've ever had.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, coming back from camping. Actually, one of the last times I went camping, I hadn't eaten. We mismanaged our food and we wound up not eating that morning at all. We had an 11-mile hike back to our car because we were in some pretty primitive area there. We got back into civilization. Oh, man. Showered. Went to the nearest Golden Corral. I think I must have eaten like 7 plates of food. They were like, sir, please. I know it's all you can eat. It was like Homer Simpson and the all-you-can-eat fish argument. Yeah. It's like, does this sound like a man who's had all you can eat? Yeah. It was pretty scary. Anyway.
FTK, what do you got?
He's a definite keeper. I think he's the wave of the future. We talked about, whether or not Hassan Whiteside might become a little bit more expendable than we had previously anticipated because of Olynyk's versatility. And I think he can certainly be a threat. He's at a reasonable contract. I think he'll play up to it. I think he'll earn whatever bonuses they've written into the contract. To me, he's a keeper. What do you think?
I want to say keeper so bad, but he's trade bait.
Whoa!
I want to say keeper so bad, but he's trade bait. I mean, look, you're not going to be able to trade Whiteside. I don't think we had this conversation on the last podcast, and I came up with several great trades. They're not going to happen, and if they don't happen, I just don't see how you can keep Whiteside. Well, I guess you could. You could keep Whiteside or Linick and play Bam at the four, even though we both agree Bam might be better at the five.
Yeah.
But that would be the way to do it. Or you could even play Olenek at the four a little bit. But when you have James Johnson and Winslow, I just think that there's players on this roster who are trade bait. And we love them, but they are. And I think that's Olenek. If he plays really well in Miami and he gets into great shape and is just proving to be everything that we think he's going to be, he could be thrown into a deal to get a superstar. You know, you can lump a Waiters contract and an Olenek contract together and get a max level player. So, unfortunately, I think he's trade bait. What are your stat predictions?
I've got 11-4-3, a little up in the points, a little lower in the rebounds, a little higher in the assist numbers. I think that's realistic for a guy like him.
I've got 9-5-3.5. So I think I think he scored 9 points a game last year. He'll do something similar and a similar role off the bench for Miami this year. 5 rebounds and 3.5 assists, which are up from last year. All right, Udonis Haslam. Let's get right into it.
Yeah.
What's your one stat or number for Haslam?
Given the fact that he didn't play very much last year, finding a statistic was very difficult. I wanted to focus on the positive, as I always will with a guy like Udonis, and that's 65.2%. His free throw rate last season, a career high. Unfortunately, he wound up only taking 15 free throws, and he only converted those at a 60% rate. But still shows that even at this point in his career, he still draws contact when necessary. He can still get to the line occasionally. Just wish he would hit those a little bit more frequently.
I've got 1-1-2-8.
Okay.
It's November 28th, the first game versus LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Oh, that's rough.
That's what I want to see. I think Haslam said that he'd use all 6 of his fouls. I'm ready for it.
He said the same crap about going against LeBron when he signed with Cleveland, and there was no bloodshed on that floor.
No, I don't think Haslam will beat up his old friends, but I think I'm just excited to see it. I don't know if we're in the context of Udonis Haslam. One thing to improve. What do you have?
Dang, he's perfect the way he is.
Oh man, that's way better than my answer. I've got 3-point shooting.
Like, sure.
I think at this point in his career, it's like, hey, if you're going to get on the floor, why don't you just make a couple threes? Wouldn't that be the best Haslam storyline? If he just walks in and starts just draining corner threes at a 40% clip?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
I was looking at his numbers. He shot 10 a couple seasons ago, 9 2 years ago, 3 3-pointers last season in 11 games, in 16 games. So not shooting a lot from the perimeter there. He's only hit 3 over the last 3 seasons. In fact, he's only hit 3 for his whole career. So I wouldn't anticipate more 3-point shooting, although I've seen him knock those down in practice and warm-ups. Maybe we'll see a couple. I would like to see one game where he has more than 1 3-pointer. That would be an eye-opener. He deserves that.
I mean, if you could bet in Vegas, say, will Haslam surpass his career total made threes in one season? Might not be bad. All you gotta do is hit 4 of them. Fill in the blank. Haslam is the blank best player in Heat history.
4th.
Can I guess 5th. Your top 3? 5th?
Oh. Fifth. I had to make room for Alonzo, unfortunately. But yes, the big 3, Alonzo, Udonis. That's my order.
Waiters soon to be up there?
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. What's your best case, worst case scenario? I don't have one.
I don't either.
Okay, just I screw either. Next one.
I mean, look, best case scenario, he plays Udonis a bunch of games.
He's Udonis Haslam. He is the best case scenario. He's also the worst case scenario. He doesn't care. He just, like, he is Udonis Haslam.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
There's only one scenario.
Okay, best case scenario, let's go off the wall. The best case scenario, he, like, murders a person in a game for whatever reason. Like somebody commits a flagrant foul against Goran Dragic and he uses like the 5-punch, what is it from Kill Bill? I can't remember, the 5-finger punch or something like that. Yeah.
Punch thing.
Yeah, exactly. And he just actually murders somebody there on the floor. I can't imagine. I don't have anybody that I hate that much across
JJ Barea. Done. Done.
Best not case after scenario. What he's done for Puerto Rico, man. Come on. He's single-handedly saving right. that poor now country.
Okay, you made me feel bad. All right. So I've got compare to a player in Heat history. My answer here is no. I just won't do it. He is one of a kind.
Yes. I just, same here.
All right, great. He is Heat history. He's walking, living, breathing Heat history. I will not compare him.
Like, let's say we could talk about theoreticals, Grant Long, PJ Brown, guys that were really rough and you know willing to mix it up a little bit, etc. But
they wish that they were Haslam.
They're pale imitations. They're not the real deal. Udonis is the real deal.
What are we saying during our 2018 preview?
UD sure looks weird in a coat and tie.
Oh, interesting.
Coach Haslam.
I think he's got one more year. I said, will this be Haslam and Wade's last year in Miami? See how I threw that in there?
I don't think Wade's going to play next year.
That's a whole other thing. All right, what chain restaurant is he?
Only be one. Much like Highlander, there can only be one. Subway. He is Sub Sandwiches. I mean, I'll never forget one of the joys of my professional media career was asking him about Subway, and he was just so joyous to talk about it. I asked him, I was like, you still eat Subway? And he's like, oh, hell yeah. To point that out, he's like, you know, I got two of them. I was like, hell yeah, I know. He's like, oh, I love them shits. I was like, okay. He loves himself some Subway sandwiches. Like, I remember reading years ago that even though he's the owner of several franchises at this point, like, friends will still give him, like, gift cards to Subway, even though he's the owner of a Subway. So you imagine he could probably get those for free, but he doesn't mind. He'll go to some Subway elsewhere, and he'll buy himself a couple sandwiches, and that's perfect. I mean, him and Subway go hand in hand.
So I wanted to try to be different. I went Miami okay. Subs.
Oh, man, that is ubiquitous to South Florida. I don't know if a lot of people will know about that.
Well, if you don't, you Google that. Miami Subs, it's way past its prime. I don't even know how many there are left.
I don't think there are any.
I don't know if there are any. I remember Pitbull bought them a few years ago. And I was very excited because I was like, Pitbull has lots of money. He'll open more Miami Subs.
You know why Pitbull bought one? He
ran it into the ground.
You know why he bought one?
No.
Because Pitbull, I mean, this is my theory. I haven't talked to Mr. 305 in a while. But he went to school, for our Miami listeners, at a school called Coral Park High School, which is right down the street on Galloway Road, 87th Avenue, and 16th Street. And there was a Miami Subs a few blocks away. And all the Coral Park kids used to go over there after school, you know, smoke, do drugs, et cetera, hang out at the Miami Subs parking lot and just hang out there for hours and hours. It was so conveniently located. A bunch of restaurants in that little intersection of 16th and 87th. My feeling is that Pitbull was probably one of them. It was a sub-neighborhood of Miami called Westchester. It is a Westchester
institution. A sub-neighborhood of Miami.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the poor bucks.
Well, that's why I had it. Well, first of all, Miami Subs is phenomenal. I'm very sad that they're not around anymore. I used to go there all the time with my mom when I was a kid. Pretty sure that's what she ate most of the time when she was pregnant with me. And I owe her for that because I wouldn't have been the person I am today without that. underrated French fries at Miami Subs?
Yeah, seasoned fries.
Oh, yeah, the seasoned fries. Great font. Like, anytime I see that, like, that 90s font with, like, just that big squiggle thing through it for no reason, like, it just takes me back. And he's way past his prime and only in Miami. He's only found in Miami. And
Absolutely. That's
Haslam.
Now, they should have had a tie-in where they created those Miami Vice-style uniforms with those bright, gaudy colors, and they could have had Miami Subs logo on the jerseys the same way that they have the Ultimate Software logos on the jerseys nowadays. Because that logo for Miami Subs was perfect for those Miami Vice-style jerseys. You know which ones I'm talking about, right?
The Miami Vice-style jerseys?
Yeah, those the neon artist colors. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those style with the Miami Subs logo would have been... That would have been perfect. That's a match made in heaven for South Florida.
FTK? We'll move on. All right. Stat predictions.
You insult me, sir. Yeah.
Stat predictions.
I've got
less than 20 games played.
Oh. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet. If he plays more than 20 games, Olenek, like, broke a leg, Adebayo, I don't know,
new stat prediction. I've got a new stat prediction.
All right.
More than 1 minute played in a playoff game this season. How's that? That's my new prediction. The Heat will make the playoffs, and they will need Haslam for some reason to come in and shoot a key corner three-pointer or something like that.
To elbow Tristan Thompson.
There we go. Perfect. All right. Do we have anything else to talk about on Miami subs or anything like that?
I have some stories about Miami subs that I don't think are fit for our listeners. I'll go a little bit into it. I knew a guy who worked at the Miami subs, an ex-gangster. He was actually in a gang. He had a tattoo of a little explosive bomb on his right hand. It was the gang's tattoo that they all had to get. Every member had to have the little exploding bomb. You know which ones I'm talking about, like the circular little bombs, like the ones they used in cartoons. That was the gang tattoo that he used to have there. He used to work at the Miami subs. He used to hook everybody up with free food once the manager was out for the night. And we were the ones that would hang out there for hours and hours and hours. And I would get free food from Miami subs. So good times.
So you and Pitbull were getting like free Philly cheesesteaks from Miami subs. What was your order at Miami subs? What was your number one sandwich?
I was a lot healthier at that point. So I think I was really getting it very simple, a grilled chicken sandwich.
Okay. I was a Philly cheesesteak every day.
It's such a versatile menu. They have like gyros.
Yeah. It's so good.
Place. It's crazy.
I miss Miami subs. They can sponsor it. I know they have no more restaurants, but they should sponsor the show. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Reminder to send us your mailbag questions to lockedonheat@gmail.com or tweet them using the hashtag AskLOHeat. You could subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.